Well, it's lovely to be here. Thank you for your invitation. I have an apology to make on International Women's Day. I'm sorry you've got to put up with me as a male. We all have our crosses to bear, as they say. I want to read to you a passage which I believe God's laid on my heart for you, and I'm excited by what I'm hearing about what's going on in the church and the future opportunities that are opening up for you now. And so I believe that this is a word in season for you to take and to pray through and to work through and to work at according to what God is saying to you. You know, one of the incredible things is that we are all capable of listening to the same words at the same moment, but God is able to reveal something unique and special to us individually. And that's one of the most remarkable things about the Christian message. So I'm going to read from the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised to Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of my servant Moses. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives and your children and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. I believe this is a word for you as a church, and that this is a time of preparation. It's a time of getting ready. In the Christian calendar, we're moving into the season of Lent, which is recognized as a time of preparation and a time of readiness. Readiness for the arrival of the Messiah. And so, there are four things that I want to share with you really this morning. The first is be prepared. The second is be positive. The third is be persistent, and the fourth is be practical. And I believe that this is a time for you both as individuals in your relationship with God, as well as a church community, to get yourselves ready for what God is going to do. This story that we read comes at the end of the period where the children of Israel had been wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. The leader, Moses, whom they learnt to trust and learnt to follow, had died, and God had appointed Joshua. And the people were going through that kind of transition phase of wondering what was going to happen, of wondering whether this man, Joshua, was going to be as good as the previous man, wondering what he was going to be like as a leader. They knew him as a man, as a warrior, but they didn't know what he was going to be like as the leader of the nation. And so God brings this word to Joshua, and it is a word not so much just for him, but for the people. And so the first thing that he talks about here is the importance of being prepared. This passage starts off in verse 2 by saying, "Now you and all these people," this applies to everybody. And I believe what is happening in your church and in your community at the moment actually applies to everybody. It's very easy for us to focus on what somebody else ought to be doing, or we want somebody to come in and take over and do all sorts of things and take the lead in all sorts of ways. And it's easy for us to abdicate our own responsibility in this role. And sometimes because we don't feel so gifted or so talented, or because we feel older and we feel less physically able and capable as we have in the past, we tend to write ourselves off. But I believe we're living in a time now, in 2020, where the church needs to recognize every individual person has a responsibility here. And it's only in the past, as we look back over the last several hundred years, that hasn't been the case. The church in our nation hasn't accepted every individual person's responsibility. And so we've become ineffective and we've become marginalized. And now we're getting criticized. And so this is a season, I believe, where it relates to every person, you and all these people. And then God says, get ready. So get ready implies that there's something that we need to do, not just to sit complacently, not just to sit and wait for something to happen. You know, there are many people who believe that there are different types of Christians. There are those who pray for things to happen. There are those who work for things to happen. There are those who wait for things to happen. And there are those who say, what happened? Don't be one of those. So this is a season for us to get ready. There are things that we need to do, and there are things for each of us which are important. And what are we getting ready for? Well, the message here to Joshua was to cross the Jordan. The Jordan was a huge obstacle in their path. It was a huge change in their situation. It was the recognition of moving from slavery into possessing the land that God had promised for them. And I believe as a Christian church in these days, we're at that kind of threshold. It's almost like there's a sense in which the Christian church in our nation has been wandering in the wilderness. Of course, you can't take these things too literally. But I believe there is a time where we're coming to a threshold now of moving into something new. And I believe that the opportunities opening for us in this country are huge if we're willing to be obedient to what God is opening up for us. But it means crossing the Jordan. It means overcoming some obstacles. It means facing the difficulties and not going back to wander where we've been before, and not to be complacent and just settle for what we've had in the past. And you see, the incredible thing about the Christian faith is that the pattern from the children of Israel was that they weren't just saved out of Egypt. They weren't just saved out of slavery. They weren't just saved out of bondage. But God saved them into his promised land. God saved them into an inheritance that he'd prepared for them. And what they did for 40 years was to move out, but forgot to move in, or weren't able to move into what God had for them. And so I believe the message for you this morning is there is something that God wants you to move into. And now is the time to get ready for that. And it might be different for different people, and it might be a surprise to you as a church. But I believe that God is moving you into something that he has prepared for you, something that he's prepared for you in advance. Here he said to Joshua, it's into the land that I am giving you as your inheritance. I'm giving you something that you haven't had to work for. I'm enabling you to move into something, but you've got to actually be willing to cross the threshold, to cross the barrier. And then he said, I will give you every place where you set the sole of your foot, every place and where your foot lands. And so there's a responsibility for them to kind of walk the land. There's a responsibility for them to possess the land. It wasn't just a question of moving in and sitting down. No, this was an active thing that God was opening for them, opening new opportunities. And he said when they moved into what God had planned for them as their inheritance, when they moved into that with boldness and with courage, which we find in this passage is recorded four times, be strong, be courageous, be bold. You know, when something appears in the scriptures, we know that it's important. When it appears twice, we know it's very important. When it appears three times, it's absolutely crucial. I'll leave you to work out what it means when it's four times. But this is really, really important. Be strong and courageous. And then God said, and I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. So this is not a battle we face on our own. It's not a battle we're facing in isolation. It's something in which God is working with us and walking with us into the promises that he has laid out for us. So this is a time to be prepared. The second thing appears in verse 6, which starts off by saying, be strong and courageous again. And this is about being positive. Now, as we start to move into things, as we start to face the difficulties, you know, when the children of Israel came to the Jordan, at that time it was in flood, and so the Jordan was probably about a mile wide. It just appeared to be an insurmountable problem for them. How on earth would it be possible that they could move into what God had promised for them? And so their boldness and their courage need to be stirred up by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. And God says to Joshua, you will lead these people to inherit what I've given you. Now I believe that we're living in an age now where Christians need to recognize that we all have a responsibility to lead. You're just appointing a new leader for the church. And one of the worst things that can happen is that you all sit back and let him do all the work. You know, the whole responsibility that we have collectively as the body of Christ is that we all have a level of responsibility to lead. We do that in families, we do that in homes, we do that in our neighbourhood, we do that in our workplace, we do that in our environment, wherever we move and live and work. And we all have a responsibility to be the people of God in those situations and to show a lead, to demonstrate a lead, to take a lead. And so we have to remain positive in this respect. We believe that God is going to empower us because of what he's placed within us to be able to use what he's given us to help other people and to work with other people and to provide a lead. And so in verse 6 he says, be strong and courageous. You will lead these people to inherit what I have promised to give them. And then be strong and courageous and be careful to obey the law. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. In these days, the Bible is being ridiculed more than ever before. And I believe that this is a time where we need to stand on the truth and the promises of God's word. The irrefutable God's word, irrefutability of God's word. The unchangeability of God's word. All around us, society is changing and encouraging us to set our standards according to what society is saying. These are days when we need to recognize that our standards are set by what God says and what God has said, and what God has said hasn't changed. And therefore we all have a responsibility to stand up for the word of God in these days. And sometimes that's going to be really difficult. Sometimes that's going to be really challenging. But often it's not about preaching at people or criticizing people or sitting in judgment on people. It's about the way that we conduct our lives. It's about the way we face the difficulties and crises in everyday life. It's about how we handle the criticism and the put downs that we get from other people. And it's about the fact that we can be strong and courageous and not be moved by those things. And so yes, society is changing. Society's values are changing. And society goes by popular opinion. Unfortunately, as Christians, we don't live by popular opinion. We live by the standards of the Word of God. And so this is a season where we need to remain positive about what we believe. We need to hold on to what we believe. We need to live by what we believe. We need to demonstrate what we believe. and then God will do amazing things. And the incredible thing here is that the promise God gives in this passage, do not turn from the law, from the right or to the left, so that you may be successful. We need to recognize that actually God wants us to be successful. God wants us to achieve his purposes. God wants us to be those people who will be influential in our society and in our communities. And God promises that we will be successful when we hold to his standards. And that's always a challenge for us, because society wants to inflict their standards upon us. And sometimes we need to find that common ground where we can go along with what people are asking without compromising what we believe as Christians and what we stand for in our faith. So this is a season for us to be positive about all we do and all we're involved in. And then we move on to verse 8 in this passage, where God says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. You know, we often in the past have been referred to as the people of the book. I'm not sure that that's a phrase that often we hear these days. But I believe it's time for us to get back into the Bible. It's time for us to learn to meditate on it. It's time for us to learn to remember what it says. It's time for us to think about it day and night, to talk about it with one another, to begin to talk more openly and more freely, to begin to understand more broadly about what God is saying in these days. So often we've taken things for granted, stories that we know off by heart, and yet we've missed the whole meaning behind them. We've missed the whole principle that God is trying to share with us. And so often we fall into that trap of simply thinking that we know and realize and actually we realize that we know nothing. So this is a time to be persistent. This is a time to hold on to what we have known. Meditate on it day and night, God says in his word. Do everything written in it. And again, he says, then you will be prosperous and successful. So often we relate to prosperity and success as being financial. And in God's word, it's not always financial. In fact, very often it's not financial. Very often to be prosperous and successful is to be healthy, is to be wholesome, is to be good at what we do, is to be good examples to the world around us. Is to achieve God's purposes in our lives. And so the promise is that when we hold to the principles of God's word, and when we begin to live by them and talk about them and meditate on them and think about them, then God promises that we will be good examples to the world around us. So again, be strong and be courageous. Do not be terrified and do not be discouraged. You don't have to look far in the world today to be terrified and to be discouraged. The world is a frightful place. And I'm sorry to say that I have to tell you, it's not going to get any better. From here on in, it only gets worse. It goes downhill rapidly. But that doesn't mean that we can't be shining lights in the darkness of this world. That doesn't mean that we can't reverse trends in our community and we can see lives being changed and altered. And we can see the power of God at work in people's lives. That doesn't mean that we can't be the miracle workers that God uses to bring salvation and healing and wholeness to people in our communities. But we recognize that the world around us is only going to get worse and worse. So do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Do not be put off by what you see on the news and in the newspapers and in society and what people are saying. And yes, the world is a dreadful place. And as we continue to pray for those who are suffering and those who are going through incredibly difficult ordeals, then we need to remember that we actually want God to turn people's hearts to him through this process. And sometimes it's through the difficulty, it's through the trials and the tribulations, it's through the testings of life that people begin to call out to God for the first time. And so let's begin to pray that God will use even the tragedies of life to draw people to himself, and so we can be persistent in our prayers. And then finally God says, be practical. Get your supplies ready. That means that we need to be ready to do something. We need to be ready to move in some way. What does our supplies mean from our point of view? Well, sometimes it means we need to get training. We need to get experience. We need to learn. We need to gain new skills that God wants to use for us. We need to be ready for what God is going to do with us, for the opportunities that God is going to open to us. And we don't get ready by just sitting and doing nothing. No, we have to bustle around a bit, and we have to dig some things out and get rid of things that we don't need and pick up things that we do need. And so if you know that there's going to be a power cut in your house, then you would not just sit there and wait for it to happen before you start to look for the candle. You know, that would be foolish. You want to get ready. You want to have things at your disposal, have things that you're ready to use that are on hand for you. So God says, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, he's going to do three things. He says, you're going to cross the Jordan, you're going to go into this new land, and you're going to take possession of it. And so I believe that there's a message for you today, that getting ready is because God is going to do something exciting. God is going to do something exciting in your church. God's going to do something exciting in your community. And it means that there is a crossing of the Jordan. There's a going through the barriers, a going through the difficulties, going through the obstacles. And it's actually entering into something that God has for us. And you know, when God does that for us, very often, it's not what we expect. It's not what we think it's going to be. God has a delight in wanting to surprise us, in wanting to break new things to us, in wanting to reveal things that we just couldn't have imagined in the past. There's a verse in the Old Testament, I think it's in Habakkuk, where God says, I'm going to do a new thing, the like of which you wouldn't believe if I told you, so I'm not going to tell you. God delights in revealing new things to us. God delights in surprising us. You know, that's the nature of our God. He loves us. He loves us with a passion. And he wants to give us things. So there is an overcoming of the barriers. There's an overcoming of obstacles. And then there's a moving into something that's new. It's not just going back to what we've known in the past. And then there's a requirement on us to take possession of the land. And I think if ever there was a word for our nation of Wales in this day, it's that we need to take possession of the land. We need to walk the land. We need to pray through the land. We need to take possession of what God has already given to us. God has planted amazing things in the nation of Wales that have lain dormant for hundreds of years. And now I believe is the time to bring those to the surface and move into those things and take possession of them as God is giving them back to us again. So it's the land that God is giving us. It's the territory in which God has placed us. It's among the environment in which we move and work and live. And so God is asking us, yes, to take possession of these things. And we do that in the name of Jesus. We do that recognizing his superiority, his power, his authority, that actually he is in control and not the circumstances and situations around us. And so we take back what is rightfully his, and move into it as our inheritance. And then there's that passage where, relating to the 2.5 tribes. You remember when Moses allocated the tribes originally, 2.5 tribes were east of the Jordan, and the rest of the nation was to have possessions west of the Jordan. And so here, Joshua is saying, or God is saying to Joshua, now when you go into the promised land, when you cross the Jordan, the 2.5 tribes think they've already got their inheritance here. We don't need to go anywhere. We don't need to move. And so he said, I want you to say to people, yeah, it's okay for your wives and families to stay there. But actually, your fighting men must go with everybody else to help them to move into their inheritance in the promised land. And so there is a sense in which, for some people in the church, they've already received their inheritance, or they know their place in the kingdom of God. They know their role in the church and in God's kingdom. And there are times where we can become complacent about that. But actually, our responsibility is to help everybody to move into their inheritance, so that there might be peace, and there might be growth, and there might be maturity and development in the church. And so there is a sense in which we all have responsibility to do that. We all have a responsibility to help one another into our inheritance, whatever it is that God has for us. And for some people, that's discovering it for the first time. You know, our Christian church in our nation is full of people who don't know what their role is in the kingdom of God. You know, we just turn up week by week and we try to help and volunteer where we can and we try and do what we can, but we don't really know what our role is. And yet the Bible makes it clear that for every person there is a particular plan and a particular role that God has for us. And so our role, our responsibility is to help one another into those roles. So we need to be practical with one another. We need to recognize. And this is not just about physical gifts, but it's about spiritual gifts. It's not just about experiences that we've had in the past. It's about things that God has placed within us that we might not even recognize are there. And so this is a time of exploration as we're getting ready and as we're being practical. So it's a time where God is beginning to move. And it's a time where God wants us to be a part of that process. I'll finish with these words in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. Where he said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves. We need to have that sense of expectation. We need to have that sense of anticipation. We need to have that sense of belief that God is moving. You know, if we don't believe it, we're not going to see it. So often we see in the world that people say, well, if I don't see it, I won't believe it. But in Christian terms, if we don't believe it, we won't ever see it. And so we have to be those people who are practical and positive and persistent. We have to be those people who take a lead in society. We have to be those people who bring a sense of calmness and purpose to people's lives who've just lost all sense of meaning. And so our responsibility actually grows as we begin to move into what God has in store for us. I've written a few little booklets that I just want to share with you, which actually are aimed at helping people to move into what God has in store for them. These are booklets called Gateway to Life. I wrote the first one initially for my church, and it was to help people who had no church background and no understanding of what Christianity really is, to cover the basics of what Christianity stands for. That's the green book. The blue one here is about helping people who are already Christians move into a sense of maturity. There are seven basic ingredients that we need to have in our everyday life if we're to move towards Christian maturity. And so the blue book is to help people to move into maturity. The red book is helping people to deal with blockages and problems and things that tie them down, things that restrict people from moving into the promises of God, the baggage of everyday life. You know, everybody tends to carry baggage from the past. And to the extent that we're willing to deal with that baggage, that often determines how we're able to move on with God in these days. And the final one is about understanding the Holy Spirit. There are many misconceptions about the work of the Holy Spirit. And yet, the Holy Spirit is central to everything that we are and everything that we believe in the Christian faith. And so I have some of these booklets available. I usually charge about £2.50 for each of them to cover the cost of postage. But if you're interested in taking one, then I'd be happy to give it to you. These are the days where God is preparing his church for something that he has in store for us. And I believe that this is an instrumental time for you. It's a season of change for you. It's a season where lots of things are happening for you. But I believe it's a season where God wants you to be really excited and really positive and really dynamic about what God is opening up for you, even if you don't know what it is. That's the essence of our faith. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's what we hold on to because God has said it, not because anything that we can see seems to confirm that. And so this is a season, I believe, as a church where God wants you to move in his power. God wants you to have a fresh anointing of his Holy Spirit. God wants you to be growing and maturing and developing as lights in the darkness of this world, shining brighter and brighter as you go about what God is calling you into and moving into your inheritance. That's what God has promised you, God has promised to give you, and that as you move into that and take possession of it, so you will be people who become prosperous and successful in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that everything about your word, everything from the Bible, reminds us that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives, and that you are bringing about your plans and bringing about your purposes in your time. And Father, I just want to pray that you will open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, not just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual dimension, that we might have a better understanding of the way in which you want us to move forward with you in these days. I thank you for the incredible opportunities that you're opening up for this church, for this fellowship, in this place, in this community, in this day. And I pray that you will just equip each person, that you will make each person prepared and ready, that you will make each person persistent and positive and practical, so that they might move into amazing things that you have in store for them. And as they consecrate themselves, they will move into your inheritance, your glorious inheritance that you have promised, in Jesus' name. Amen.